Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer with you. It's 12:35 in Edmonton. This is Oilers Now. Brendan Escott will be out for the next couple of days. Special thanks for Sarah Fox for pulling a little bit of double duty today. Kellen Kennedy, who works on Reed Wilkins' show at night, works on an Oilers game broadcast as well, will slide in back at the 6:30 CHED studios at 1 o'clock today. Our Oilers Now headliner is brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. And we are pleased to be joined by the former general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning, started Octagon's player agency, now with the NHL Network, what was a little bit of a difficult day for him. So we appreciate him making some time for us. We welcome back to the show Brian Lawton. Hi, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Bob. How are you?
Good. Celebration of life today. Is that what took place?
Absolute celebration of life. Former mentor for me and many other young hockey players that coached me in high school hockey passed away. Bill Belisle, 92 years old. It was one of the best funerals, most uplifting funerals I've ever been to. He had an incredible life. We celebrated it today, and it was very, very moving.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's about a little bit of perspective. You know, you can get caught in the day-to-day minutiae and get dragged down. And, you know, it's funny. You work for a club, and, you know, I want to see the Oilers win. Like, I'm not really that much different from the fans, and there might be some others out there that see themselves as more neutral and say, well, I'm a journalist. I don't give a crap if the team wins. Well, I got news for you. I care whether or not the Oilers win. I want to see the fans in the city happy, and I want to see Daryl Cates, the owner, happy, and Bob Nicholson and Ken Holland and Dave Tippett and the staff happy. And when you're 16-5 and everything's going good, people are happy, and people get credit. And when you go in a 2-10-2 funk, you know, then there's criticism that goes around, and it comes in territory. But it's never lost to me, Brian, at any point, that I still get to go to the rink every day and work in the toy department of life, that there's real issues that many of our listeners are dealing with right now. And then you've got the family personal stuff. You've got guys listening right now that have got sick kids. Other people have sick parents. And we're talking about hockey. We're talking about hockey. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. And it is just a matter of perspective. The sky may be falling for Edmonton fans and feel like that in the city at times. But without perspective, it's really easy to lose your way. I shared stories with, you know, some of my closest friends in life for a few hours today about a man that didn't grow up very wealthy, was never really wealthy, and yet he had an incredibly rich life. That says a lot about who he was as a person, and it says a lot about how many people he influenced in a positive way. And honestly, I left there thanking his family for their father.
Awesome.
And that type of perspective and humility is really important in life. Doesn't mean we're not going to dissect everything about the Oilers on this show, though.
Right, and that's where we're going to go next. So this team's only played one game in the last, I guess, almost 2 weeks now. And, Brian, it was against Ottawa, and they didn't need to have happen what happened. They had a 3-1 lead. You're playing a 30th-place team in the league. You're heading to the third period. You got your goaltender. You know, it's funny. A year ago at this time, I would have said, you know, maybe a B-grade prospect. I now grade him to an A-minus prospect. He's got a chance to be a good NHL goalie, but he's playing his 12th NHL game. His team went through a COVID scare Wednesday in Bakersfield. They all got retested like three times just to get him here. He had a tough tough third period. He's still a really good prospect. He got crapped on by a few people out there, but most of the fans listening to the show stuck up for Stuart Skinner. But it doesn't ease the pain of the fact that the team's now 2-10-2, Brian, in the last 14 games.
No, that's true. He is a good prospect. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure, obviously, on who's ever playing goal right now for the Edmonton Oilers. They haven't got great play. That makes it even more intensified. But it doesn't take away the perspective, particularly for Skinner, of where he's at in his career. And this has been, by and large, a very, very successful year for him up until this point. Now, there's still a lot of hockey to be played, still a lot of growth to go on for him. And you can't lose sight of that. You know, one game counts as one loss, no matter whether you're winning 3-1 in the third or not. It's one loss. You got to have a short memory, and you got to move on. Now, they're piling up in Edmonton, and that's causing a lot of angst. But you're looking for a result that hopefully the Edmonton Oilers somehow emerge from this stronger than where they were.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, right now there's, the funny thing is, you know, for the fans, they want to see some solutions coming from management or potentially from coaching. And that's not always easy. You can't exactly force trades, but you've also, you know, you've got to sort of scan the waiver wire, and people say, well, if you're taking players from other teams, that must mean that those guys aren't good enough. I don't always agree with that, Brian. I think one man's junk is another man's treasure on the waiver wire. But as a former general manager, and you had some tough miles in Tampa because you basically orchestrated a bit of the rebuild that started the genesis of what's now one of the best teams in the NHL, the two-time reigning Stanley Cup champs. There are two biggest pieces you drafted in back-to-back years. How challenging is it when you are in that position and you want to make changes to the club, but you just can't go out to make it? Can you make a trade for the sake of making a trade to spark something?
Not in today's world, you can't. You used to be able to do that just to sometimes snap people up to attention, but it's so difficult in today's world. And I did go through it in Tampa, and it was, there's no words that I could say on this program to express how frustrated you get, particularly as a manager, because turning a hockey team in the direction that you want it to go is like turning a Titanic around. It takes forever. It's so slow moving. It's very cerebral. It's a tough situation. Ken Holland, you know, it's not lost on him what he needs to do, where they're at. And yet it's a different era than it used to be, where you could go out without a salary cap if you had a great owner. And I think the Oilers have a great owner, and buy whatever you need to fix the solutions. You could find it. It was fungible. Not the case anymore. Absolutely not the case.
I mean, I look at the situation in goal, and it was interesting because if you're a player, you don't want to pin it on one thing, because that's part of being a team. I think we all know challenges often start in goal. There's been a lot of good coaches in this league lose their job because goalies have gone on tough runs. When the Oilers were 16-5, Brian, their save percentage was, their all three goalies were above .914. 2-10-2, all three goaltenders below .882. That's a tough stretch. Would you contemplate, I'm just going to throw out a scenario. So Scott Harrington, represented by Jeff Jackson, he's down in the minors right now in Columbus's organization, making $1.6 million. They got Corpusello, who's had a tough year. He's $2.8 million. Would you contemplate, and it's not like Corpusello's had a great season, Koskinen's actually had the better numbers, would you make a move for the sake of making a move if you could make the math work?
It's really hard to do that in today's world. You got to feel good about what you're doing. And I think that Ken Holland is a veteran general manager that knows and recognizes that. And I think he's going to be incredibly methodical about doing that. I would say some of the younger general managers might do it just for the benefit of the reaction you could potentially get. But I don't see Ken Holland doing that. He's going to look for if something comes across his desk, if he uncovers a rock where there's value underneath it, he's going to jump on it. But it's different than it used to be. Those opportunities are fewer and harder to come by. Salary cap restricts you in ways that are unexplainable to fans. Assets in terms of draft picks and young players are more valuable than ever in a salary cap world. There's just a lot to unpack before you act. I know everybody's screaming for Edmonton to go out and get a goaltender. I believe they will. I couldn't tell you when, but between now and the trade deadline, I absolutely believe they will make a move. I also believe when they do it, it's a move that Ken Holland and his staff are going to feel good about, not just a move to make a move now because we're going through a horrendous stretch.
We're joined by Brian Lawton, former general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He started Octagon's hockey agency side. That's where we're going to go next. Bill Zito comes into town. They're going to practice today at 2 o'clock. He's, was in the agency business for a while, but perhaps a better example, lateral to what you did, is what's taking place in Montreal with Kent Hughes, who was with Cortex for a number of years. Anton Thun, who is the primary point man on the Darnell Nurse negotiations, is with that firm. What did you think of a guy that you worked with? You worked with Jeff Gordon on the NHL Network, Brian. What did you think of Jeff Gordon going down that path with Hughes?
My honest answer is I always thought he was going to hire Ken Hughes. Back home, they both had children at play. They were friends. I think it allowed Jeff to essentially remain the de facto general manager and bring somebody in that maybe is going to focus more on the business side of things. I haven't read a lot about it yet because I'm curious to see what people say, but that's what my thoughts are. I felt that the second I heard Kent's name, I was like, Jeff's going to 100% hire Kent. Now, that's just my opinion. You'd never hear that anywhere else. They went through the process. They interviewed a lot of guys. Sure. They were strong. They were impressive. I get all that. But my gut feeling, if you woke me up in the middle of the night and said, who's it going to be? I would have said Kent Hughes.
Well, your gut feeling also, who was it going to be to coach the Edmonton Oilers? You said Dave Tippett. So you've obviously got a decent gut feel on these. What happens on the agency side of the business when Kent steps away from Cortex in that scenario?
Well, obviously I did that when I left Octagon. And I didn't leave to go right to a GM job. I actually left at the end of a year and started in June. I wanted to have a little separation from it. And to be honest with you, there's business that the agent, Ken Hughes in this case, needs to wrap up with his firm. I also purchased the firm from the interim general manager of the Anaheim Ducks. Of course, that's Jeff Solomon right now when I was running Octagon. So I know both sides of what goes on there, having done it and having purchased it from someone else. And you know, you want to try to figure out for Kent, he's got to figure out if he's just leaving and there's no more payments. I know that I was paid some money when I left, but I also wasn't going to a job. But those are things you work out behind closed doors. In Kent's case, that may or may not be the situation. I don't know that, but he had a lot of really nice clients, as you can see with his client list. I negotiated against Kent on Vinny LeCavalier's contract, although I didn't really negotiate that. It was done before I got there, but in any event, I papered that contract. So I like Kent. I think he'll do a good job. I think he's a very smart guy. I think Jeff Gordon is a very smart guy also. He's got this where it's really fantastic for his skill set. He doesn't necessarily have to be out in front of the media, and he can continue to be super involved in the hockey operations where he's really good.
All right, so now I'm going to ask you the $10.5 million question. Carey Price, unlikely to play, I mean, anytime soon this year. We know that. He's basically back to ground zero. Do you envision Jeff Gordon? They're obviously, you know, there's a possibility that Petrie's going to be out of there. I think his family's currently down in Michigan because of how restrictive things are in Montreal. You know, Jerry Johansson out of Edmonton has both Carey Price and Brendan Gallagher. Brendan Gallagher is a guy a lot of teams would like. He's got a big ticket, but he's a guy a lot of teams would like. And then there's Carey Price. Could you foresee a scenario where the Canadiens retain significant dollars to get more younger assets as they transition and potentially rebuild the team? Or do you think they'll do a quick reload? What do you think is going to occur in Montreal?
In my opinion, it's not Jeff, so the Montreal Canadiens, I believe that it'll be more of a rebuild than a retool. I say that for a few reasons. A lot of it has to do with the people that are in charge. I do believe it's easier to retool in today's world than it used to be. It's absolutely not as sure to rebuild as it used to be, just by virtue of the math.
Yep.
For the draft. Everybody knows that or should understand that. The math changed dramatically. We had two top picks, Stamkos and Hedman, when I was there. But there was also certainty as to where we would be picking. A lot of certainty by the math. Not the case now. But I still think they're going to go that route. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean you can't do it. Everybody knows that Cale Makar went fourth overall. Merrill Heiskanen went third. So you don't necessarily have to pick first or second. But it does make things a lot more, a lot easier. Let's put it that way. But I think that's the route they'll go because of where they're at. I think guys like Carey Price, when you ask me, you know, what happens with Carey Price, will they trade him? My first reaction is Kobayashi Maru. For all the Star Trek fans out there, they know that means a no-win scenario. What does that mean for the club? It means it's going to be a while if you make the determination to go in another direction to unwind out of that contract. And that generally entails having to pay a portion of it or a large portion of it, and in my opinion, not getting full value for a player that's been as great as Carey Price, but the timing is off on where he's at in his life for them to expect to really maximize the return on a guy like him. So there's going to be a lot of challenges there. I think there's a reason why those guys signed five-year contracts, but I think those guys will do a good job. I think Jeff Gordon is very smart, had a chance to work with him firsthand, and he'll figure it out. They're just going to need some patience in Montreal.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Brian Lawton from the NHL Network, former GM of Tampa Bay, longtime NHL agent. So what is the asset required if there's 4 years left in Price's deal after this year? As long as you knew that he was good to start next season and play, he was good to go because he's had some knee issues in the past. He's where he needs to be from a you know, mental perspective, because we're always considering that these days. If you knew that you were going to get Carey Price and you were prepared to eat half over 4 years, how significant would the asset request have to be from the Canadiens organization to potential suitors?
Okay, well, first off, no one is going to know that. I could certainly theorize if he were healthy, but I don't think that's necessarily what the fans want to hear.
Okay.
The reality is, or the question is, in my opinion, I get to do this on your show, right? I can change the question when you ask me?
Yes, that's a sign of a very skilled respondent.
No, I'm trying to be 100% truthful. I love doing this show. You know I always am.
Yeah.
Most teams are going to reason that there is risk and concern in Carey Price now.
Okay.
And because of that, I think Montreal is going to struggle to get fair value. If they get a first-round pick and anything else, that would be a windfall for them, in my opinion. But the team that's going to pick them up is still going to pay a significant amount, capped at over $5 million. And they're going to have a lot of risk as to whether or not Carey's going to get back to being Carey Price and can deliver the way you need. If it works out, then you're going to be a hero. If it doesn't, you better have a lot of cap space. Now, most likely, if it doesn't work out, Terry's not healthy, and he probably ends up on LTI long term, to which, like Shea Weber, that in itself won't derail your team. It's not a good thing to give up an asset, though, and have to essentially put a player on LTI so you can replace him. So I think it's going to be a challenge for them, as great as Carey Price has been. I really think it is. Yeah, it's not going to be an easy one for him, in my opinion.
All I can think back to is just the contrast, Brian, and this, the final little point here, and we're going to circle back to goaltending just in the final minute, but... You know, when Edmonton lost to Winnipeg, there was, well, you know, the Edmonton, their top two guys, you know, and not everybody was saying that. A lot of people recognized, you know what, I mean, they were down to 9 forwards and 4 defensemen in the triple overtime game, but this group can't do it. And they ran into a goaltender that had a 950 save percentage. And yet, if you were a supporter of Kyle Dubas in Toronto, you'd say, well, Carey Price put up a 945 in the final 3 games of the series against the Leafs, and that's why Toronto lost. And if you were a hater of Kyle Dubas and sort of the analytics-driven side, you'd say, well, they weren't tough enough and they weren't physical and their top-end guys didn't deliver and they're not mental and all those. And somewhere in the middle lies the truth. But I just look at Carey Price in the last 2 years in the playoffs. Beat Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh didn't play great in that series, but he beat Pittsburgh. And then the next year, you know, got past the Leafs from 3-1 down and took the Canadiens to Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final, past the Jets and the Vegas Golden Knights. Like, that, if I'm looking at Carey Price, that's the upside that I see in the goaltender.
That's exactly who you're looking for. Someone's going to focus on that if you're Jeff Gordon. Father Time is working against him. The contract is working against him. But it only takes one, Bob. And if there's one team out there that has that need, feels that he's the piece to put them over the top, then they'll get a deal done and they'll do it rather quickly. But I think even if there is right now, there's so many other potential options to explore. It's not going to be easy for Montreal.
All right. Awesome stuff, Brian. Thank you for joining us on a special day for you. And we'll hook up next Wednesday, okay?
My pleasure, Bob. Thank you.
From the NHL Network, former general manager, Tampa Bay Lightning. You heard him. He drafted Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman. Agent for Octagon, the agency that represents Edmonton's Leon Draisaitl and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Saw Rick Vallette here in town on the weekend. Brian's our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. We'll tell you that some guests in Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night in the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. And while we have time, we're going to get into the Oilers Now injury report. The Oilers Now Injury Report is brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, big-time banger back when he played in the CFL for the then-named Edmonton S, the AA football team. And today, Brendan Perlini, not on the ice, might be available for tomorrow's game. He was the 2 previous days practicing on the line with Connor McDavid and Kyler Yamamoto. Kyle Turris returned to practice. William Lagesson has cleared waivers and will remain on the taxi squad up with the Oilers on the time being. Chris Russell appears to be good to go to play in a pairing tomorrow with Evan Bouchard. We are headed down the path of a start for Mikko Koskinen against the Florida Panthers. We'll go off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. And when we come back, David Staples from the Cult of Hockey. You're listening to Oilers Now live from Rogers Place.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.